Father, we are so thankful. God, we're so thankful that your son's death, Jesus' death, means life for us, means freedom for us. Father, we are thankful that we can live in that freedom and in that life that you've promised. We are thankful that we can live in those promises and blessings that you've promised in your word. God, we thank you that we can live boldly, Father. We can live a life of faith. And Father, I pray that as we sang those words this morning, that we believed them with every cell in our body, Father. God, I pray that if we don't believe them, Father, you would stir our hearts and that we would engage you in a new and deeper way, Father. God, I pray that you would just touch us today. Give us a new touch. In Jesus' name. You guys can have a seat. Thank you all. I don't know what button I pushed last on my thing, and I'm trying to figure out what is going on here, what I have playing for those that are watching on YouTube and Facebook right now. So if you're watching words, and I apologize, but if you're watching me, well, it's a good day for you, I guess. You get to see my smiling face, right? Why are we laughing? It wasn't a joke. They're blessed. So we are finishing up our series called No Offense. And this one's kind of a little different because we've talked a lot about, you know, ways that we're offended and how we get snared into offense, and today we're going to talk about, you know, pouring it out, not holding on to it. If we've drank the glass of offense, if we've taken that big old jug and tried to drink some of it back, or somebody's poured us a big old glass of offense, and today we want to talk about, you know, pouring out that offense. I want us to be a people here at our church that are people that don't drink the poison, don't drink the poison of offense. So the first week of this series, we talked about how every offense is something that comes at us in two stages, right? Not three stages, sorry, two stages. That thumb wants to get out there sometimes, in two stages. So stage one is the feeling of offense. That's what you feel when the offense comes into your life. Something happened to cause you to feel overlooked, insulted, violated, taken advantage of, not considered. You feel offended. And everyone at some point has that feeling of offense come to them. And that's stage one. And the second stage is the one that snares a lot of people. And that's the choice to decide whether to live or not live offended. And far too many people make the choice to live offended. And it drags them down. It poisons them. It steals their passion. It steals their purpose. Many people assume that the feeling of offense it happens, right? When it comes at them, and then they need to live in it. And we've talked about how we don't need to live in it. We can feel offended, but it doesn't mean we should live offended, right? We can choose to drink up that big old glass of offense, or we can choose to pour it out and live a life of freedom. And we need to live a life of freedom, don't we? Amen? And then in the second week of this series, we talked about how the number one reason people live offended is unfulfilled expectations. And this offense comes to us in three different glasses. The first glass is unspoken expectations. The second glass is unmet expectations. And the third is unrealistic expectations. And I think this is one that really does capture a lot of us a lot of the time too. And we said living offended or with an offense causes us to stumble. It shackles us. It holds us back from the things of heaven. It holds us back from blessings and promises because we are no longer focused fully on God and His goodness. We are focused at how Bill wronged me. Right? We take our focus off of God and we put it on me and how I feel about what he did or she did. We can't drink the poison of offense. And then the third week, a couple weeks ago, we talked, A few weeks ago, we've had some special speakers in here. We talked about being drawn into offense, and by being drawn into an offense, it distracts us. And being drawn into an offense is a trap. It's a trap of the enemy. And being drawn into the offense really does cause us to be not focused on him. So the word offense we had talked about comes from the Greek word scandal, which is actually just defined as a trap that a hunter would set for its prey. So offense is just a trap that the enemy sets for us. It's a trap for us as prey. And so offense is just a trap that he wants us to fall into. I find it really interesting, actually, too, that the word scandal is something that when we have politics and we have people of prominence and there's the scandal, I find that word interesting, because if it's just a trap that the enemy has set, it's a trap that the enemy has set to distract them from what they're supposed to be doing and from their good. And the third thing we talked about is being drawn into offense causes us to miss out on God. And we talked about Naaman and how he had this opportunity to be healed, but he got bent out of shape and almost missed out on this healing miracle he had before him. And living out of offense causes us to look and focus on me and not on God. There's kind of this reoccurring theme here of focusing on us rather than focusing on God. Do you see that? And when we live offended, we're focused on us continually, and we need to focus on him. So this week is the last week of our series. And we're gonna talk a little while, and then we're gonna sing some more songs, okay? I'm not gonna keep you here all day, just until about supper time. So Psalms 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That should be an amen there. This verse is saying that it is possible to live unoffendable, to live without offense. And that's what really, this is like, okay, baseball's been on, right? And I've been pitching and I've been trying to throw strikes, and I know you don't have four strikes in baseball, okay? But we threw one and we got a strike. We threw two, we got a strike. We're talking about not focusing on us, focusing on him. Third one, we got another strike, and now we're gonna hit it out of the park, okay? Because we, as God's people, can live unoffendable. That should be exciting for us. To live without offense. That it's possible that when you love the law, you love the word, when you live life like it's the truth, and that it actually sets you free, you can live without offense. Maybe when I say that offends you. I hope it doesn't. I hope it excites you. And when you draw close to the Lord and you live with that confidence in what he's called us to, that openness and that faith in your life, you can be a part of a group of people who are unoffendable. Too many people don't live in this group. Too many people want to live in offense or live here or there and not live an unoffendable life. Far too many people live offended. And it's something that people quickly embrace, and they manipulate the people around them, right? Like, man, Bill, like, do you know what Kat said to me the other day? Like, this is what she said. Like, doesn't that should make you mad, right? You need to talk to her. You need to get fired up. Too many of us do that to each other, don't we? Maybe I'm the only one that's seen that happen. I must be. And society today is so keen to the idea of being offended and living offended, that's how they want to live. We are not called to live offended. Too many people are all messed up because they're offended. It's funny. I had a friend, I thought we were friends, right? And this guy liked to really share stuff on Facebook, which I hate. But he would share stuff on Facebook. That's probably going to get me fact-checked that I hate Facebook. But I hate Facebook. And this guy would share stuff all about, like, his political view, his lifestyle, this, that, and everything else. And it was facts. because he shared it. And I shared some stuff about my perspective of some of the presidential debates, just because I like to stir the pot sometimes. It's fun for me. Stacy said, maybe you should take a break off Facebook, but I didn't. But I shared this. I've shared four posts about the presidential debate. He unfriended me because he got offended because I wouldn't share the same view as him. People leave churches because, well, who's he to tell me that? Like, do they not know I've been a Christian since I was that big? He's only been a Christian for 6 years. I know we're supposed to live like that because we were taught in Sunday school. Right? Anybody? Like, come on. I'm hoping you're not taking that offense that I just said and drinking it down right now. But it happens. It happens. And just because you feel offended doesn't mean you have to live offended. You don't have to unfriend me or unfollow me or, I can't believe it. That church pastor just said that. That wasn't even a proper statement. I can't believe the pastor of that church just said that. I'm going to turn off their Facebook feed right now. You can't. You shouldn't. I mean, you could, I guess. But then it means you're living in your fence. You're drinking it up. Just because you feel offended doesn't mean you live offended. I have that in caps like 3 times. I don't want to say it a third time until I get an amen. So let's say it one more time. I'll say it the third time. Just because you feel offended doesn't mean you need to live offended. Thank you. That's right. I'm going to applause, laugh. Pour out your glass of offense. That feeling of offense, pour it out. Everybody feels it. Sometimes life doesn't feel fair. Sometimes you might not like somebody's opinion. Jesus tells us offense will come. Stuff's going to happen. Living offended is when you go past the feeling of offense and you decide to drink the poison. And you expect that other person that you're offended with to die, to feel the pain. The poison you drink, you want someone else to be hurt by, don't you? That's what happens. That's what we want. We want to share our story and make life uncomfortable for them because they made me upset and hurt my feelings. We need to, as Hebrews 12:15 tells us though, we need to watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. It's corrupting many. When you get offended, you get troubled, don't you? And it's on your mind. You can't sleep. You can't concentrate on valuable, important things. You can't because you're busy feeding the offense. You're nursing the offense. You're allowing it to grow. It's like yeast, and you pour it into your bread. You want it to grow, and you're trying to warm it up and do whatever you need to do. Rocking a baby. But you're trying to feed it, aren't you? That's what so many people do. And the Bible finishes this verse with a statement that says, it corrupts many. So lots of people, most people, are living offended. And they're living captive. When they should be living free. Shouldn't we be? They're living captive when they should be living free. Maybe you're living captive when you are supposed to and called to be living free, blessed lives, right? And if you're offended against someone, it's affecting you, not them. You might think talking about them is affecting them. They're probably sitting there saying, what the heck's this problem? I don't know. Right? See, Proverbs 12:16 says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook a what? A what? Sorry, Gary. I didn't give you the signal. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Insult me. Go ahead. I don't care. I'll overlook it. It's something I've worked, and I shouldn't say that, insult me, because I want you to insult me, but I've been working really hard at doing that, at overlooking insults, overlooking complaints, overlooking this, overlooking that, because, not overlooking my job, that's not what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying, right? I'm trying to overlook when darts and arrows try to come at me from other people. Tell me you think you don't like how I speak, I'll overlook it. Tell me you don't like how I do my hair, I'll overlook it. Tell me you don't like this shirt, and I'll overlook it. I'm overlooking it. The scripture reminds us that my goal is not that I'm going to let you, what you say, bother me. I'm not going to let it get under my skin. I want to overlook an insult. Years ago, I didn't have this story in my notes, but part of me really struggled with speaking. With speaking in church. I don't know, maybe I shared this story with you guys. I'll share it again. So I remember I was a youth, I was 17 years old, and I was asked to come back to my home church in Lloydminster and be the youth pastor, the youth leader, while I was in Bible school. At 17 years old, might not sound like a big deal, but I was driving a pretty junky car. Like, Kara's got a pretty nice car. I had a pretty junky car that I barely would trust at times. Like, I remember pulling up, this is a total side story, but I remember pulling up, because I was single at the time, and pulling up to some lights with my buddy, and the car I had kind of looked like a Mustang. It was a Ford Maverick, if you know what that type of car was. It kind of looked like a Mustang in my eyes, but I remember pulling up to a light and looking over, me and my buddy, and we're looking, and they're like, oh, there's a car full of girls. So I'd rev it up, right? And trying to impress the girls, 17 years old, and I pin her, like, as hard as I can, and I go nowhere, and I just all of a sudden, bang, the biggest backfire ever. But anyways, that was my car, that's how safe it was. And we would drive, I would drive back and forth to Lloyd, and I remember it was like my second or maybe third weekend, I was like, we've done lots of games, we've done like the chubby monkey or chubby bunny where you put the marshmallows in your mouth, because you could do that back then, and the pass the cup from your forehead to your nose or whatever thing, and the cookie thing. We did all that, and I was like, oh, I better do a Bible study. I hadn't done one yet, so I did one, and it was an epic failure. Epic failure. Like, I was trying to explain having an attitude as Christ has called us to have, and I tried to talk about how we have an attitude, and I said, even this guy, who's was my best friend at the time, and I said, even he has, and people are like, no, he doesn't. I was like, but I couldn't explain because I didn't have enough experience to explain what I was talking when I said attitude like Christ. Anyways, everybody kind of laughed. I felt stupid. I felt insulted. I felt dumb. And at that point, I'm like, maybe this pastoring thing isn't for me. And I really let it get under my skin. And I let it distract me. And I let it pull me down. And I held on to that. And I actually held on to it for quite a while. He had no idea what he had said and what they had said. And at that point, I'm like, oh, I'm done. This isn't my gig. Maybe I'll be an executive pastor where I don't have to deal with people. I can just deal with a building. Maybe I'll be a janitor at a church because I really feel called to church, but I don't want to deal with people. And I really let it get me down. And I remember sharing at a men's event. I'm trying to think, 1997 to 2015, 2016. How many years is that? Let's say 18 years. I held this under my skin for 18 years, letting it poison who I was, letting it steal the joy of being somebody's pastor, of sharing with them this love that I have for people. And I let that insult, that little jab that was intended as nothing, eat me up under my skin. Don't let an insult or just something said in jest get under your skin. Overlook it. Proverbs 17:9, which feeds us to this one. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. In other words, you're free to move on. If you feel offended, you're free to move on. You're free to go on with your life. If somebody says something that is can bring an offense into your life, you're free to drop it and move on. You can cover an offense with love. You're free to stop telling the story of why you're offended. You're free to go on with your life. And the only reason I share that story and I like that story is because when I actually shared it with him, after I realized what was going on, boy, it was freeing for me. Because I didn't have to say, why? What is bothering me about this? Why am I scared to share? Why am I scared to talk in front of the church? And when I would do devotionals, I would always feel doubt about what I'm sharing and all this stuff, right? And it's something so silly. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to what? To overlook an offense. Not to hold on to the offense. Not to tell everybody, do you believe what they did? But to overlook it. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. I'm telling you to overlook an offense and not hold on to it and let it captivate your life. It's to your glory to be unoffendable. So here are some things that you can do in your life to be unoffendable, okay? Number one, I hope I have it there. Keep pouring out the poison. After you get served a glass of offense, after you get served that glass of poison, what you do next is critical to your soul. You choose. Do you drink it up and go on your go on with life down Bitter Street? Or do you pour it out and start strolling down Better Street? Your choice, Bitter Street or Better Street? Bitter Street is full of potholes. Have you driven down some Saskatchewan roads that got some potholes? Or Alberta roads? I know they have some bad ones now too. It used to be fun because you'd be driving along and, oh, we're in Saskatchewan. And because you're bouncing everywhere and then you're going back and, oh, we're back in Alberta now because I don't bounce and my coffee stays there. I'm just joking. Don't be offended. I live here now too. You can get bitter or you can get better. The choice is yours. See, Simon Peter, do you remember how he asked Jesus, how many times do we forgive? Do you remember this story? Is it seven times, Lord? Is it 77 times? And what did Jesus respond to him? It was 70 times seven. Like, how about every time we forgive instead of holding on to that offense? We just forgive and just let it go. And every time offense comes, they can fill up the glass. You can come and try to fill up my glass of offense. And you know what I want to do? Is I just want to be a guy that just pours it out. Pours it out again. I don't need to drink it. I don't need to hold it. That's that. If you're coming at me with your offense, if somebody's coming at you with their offense, just pour it out. You don't need to hold it. Being unoffendable is a lifestyle of being a pourer. Being offendable, like we talked about a few weeks ago, social drinking, right? We're socially drinking, chugging that offense. So be a pourer and pour it out. Number two, know your role in every relationship. It sounds weird, but please hang on with me on this one. When someone pours you a glass of offense, you ask yourself this question: what is my role in this relationship? So like when I get up in the morning and Stacy doesn't fix me breakfast like I deserve, like I'm a king in my house, king of my castle, like I should be getting up. Nathan, I know this happens in your house. You get up and there's bacon and eggs and some fresh fruit there. It doesn't always happen in my house. I'm not trying to cause offense now. But I need to realize at some point my spot in that relationship is that I'm not married to my mummy. I'm married to my partner, my wife, and it's not her job to make me breakfast every day, is it? And if she does, great. I'm not going to say no either. I love bacon and eggs. Kara, life lesson. When you get married, bacon and eggs are the way to a man's heart. Unless they're vegetarian. Then I don't know what is. But I have to realize, what's my role? Stacy would get mad at me because I never packed a lunch for years and years and years and years. Because my mom, my mommy, would pack me a lunch. And even, she's probably watching this right now, and she's probably like, yeah, I did that. But she'd write even a note on my napkin, have a good day, I love you. And my wife never did this. Where was my note on my napkin when I got married? Where's my lunch? I need a sandwich with the crust cut off. Give me a little heart in the center of my sandwich. And I wasn't married to my mommy. I was married to my wife, my partner, right? I had a role in that relationship. And in that relationship, I could have got hung up on offense. It doesn't matter if you have a good excuse, like, I really don't like crust. I have a role. You need to know your role. Like when you discipline your kids even, right? They get offended because you give them heck. You need to remember your role. You're not their friend. You're not their buddy. You're not their pal. You're not their best friend and their all this. You're their parent, right? I know how mad sometimes my kids get at me when I have to discipline them and take away their cell phone. Well, you're not cool. You just don't know, Dad. Really? I was 14 once. I was 15 once. I know it seems like it was impossible. I wasn't born at 35 years old. I was 14. I was a child. Sometimes I still act like a child, and that's okay. We need to know our role, though, right? And something I've always thought of and always tried to live my life is that we need to honor people. And honor is a two-way street. Did you know that? We need to honor up as well as we need to honor down. We need to honor those that are in authority above us and those that we are in authority for. So I need to honor my children, right? I hope that's an amen. Yeah. It's important. I think it's so important. Honor is so critical to our life. Next, we need to manage your expectations. Don't expect favors from people, and don't leave room for what you don't know. Leave room for what you don't know. That should be a laugh. Right? That's a laugh aloud card, guys. That's a mistake on my behalf. Thank you for grace. Leave room for what you don't know. So you know, when you serve on a team or in a church with a secret expectation, like, I don't know what. Maybe when you're doing something with an agenda or a motive and you're setting yourself up to take on a role, like, yeah, I'm going to help out in church and then I'm going to become the drummer of the church. I don't know how to drum, but I sure like how Dave looks when he plays those drums, right? That's going to be me. I'm working to that spot. But you don't know how to play drums. Yeah, but I'm here and I'm volunteering and I'm putting the time in. I'm going to be behind them drums. Well, learn to play the drums. Don't set yourself up with some unreal expectation. I hope that sounds like a crazy, silly explanation for you, but it's like there's a lot of people that put in time in church trying to position themselves for authority, for a position in church or position in somewhere in a job. And they're doing things, setting up expectations to be offended. Because it's your expectations. Because you're playing the game in your own mind. See, so many people, let's say, they spend time and they volunteer at church because they think it's gonna really help their position in the church or in the heaven when they die. And it's, oh, man, I'm going to get to heaven and that guy, he's only been a Christian for 3 years. He's just going to get a little mansion. I'm getting a big one because I've been a Christian for 36 years. I have done this, 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 this in the church. That guy, he just got saved. My mansion's going to be way bigger. I'm going to have 3-ply of gold highway to my house. He's only getting single. He's going to get Saskatchewan roads. I'm getting Alberta. You know what I mean? I know this sounds silly. But I know that there are people who believe this stuff. Like, high five all of you guys for longevity in the church. But it's not like, well, I've had this chair for 22 years, and this is my chair. If somebody comes in and take it, I'm going to kick them out. Pastor Dave, get them out of my chair. They're in my spot. Don't they know? That thing is formed to my butt. I don't know how many people have three butts, but it's formed to my butt, right? Get out of my chair. No. Come take my chair. You don't have the right to be offended. In case you wondered, we move the chairs around. So follow your butt implant. No, that's a butt implant is what you, never mind. Forming, whatever. You know what I mean? Imprint, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. That just got awkward. And the next one is we need to fight for the freedom that we've been given as believers in Christ. We need to fight for the freedom that we have. We have been given freedom when we accepted Jesus into our life, didn't we? So then why do we drink the poison and let us be shackled? Make freedom your goal. Too many people make revenge or getting even their goal. Let's make freedom our goal. Living a life free. Being a free people who can live in the blessings and in the promises of Scripture rather than living in the shackles of your offense and anger and bitterness. You're called to be a free people, aren't you? Galatians 5:13 says, For you are called to Thank you. And then I have three dots because I skipped some words, but it says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. What? Doesn't that say serve myself? No. Serve one another because you're free. And we talked about this before in a couple sermon series. Use your freedom to serve others with love. Oh, I'm going to have to disinfect this. Use your freedom as an opportunity to serve one another. We talked about this lots in the first week. It proclaims that Christ has made us free, hasn't he? It was because of Jesus we're free. You can use your freedom in a way that will take you into bondage, or you can use your freedom to take you down a way of freedom, of being unshackled, into living a life of love. I don't know, maybe I was the only one that did this, but I remember growing up, if my kids are watching, let's mute this right now, but I remember growing up, and I got that little taste of freedom. I got my driver's license, right? And I was like, I ran out the door, and I was like, freedom! I was like, what is his name? That was really high. I hadn't quite hit puberty yet, maybe. But William Wallace, who said that? Thank you, whoever said that. William Wallace, and it's like, freedom! Right? Anybody else when they get their drivers be like that? Nobody? Wow. Yeah, thank you. Somebody is like me. You hear my heart, right? Freedom! Let's get that car and let's pin that gas and let it backfire so we can all slide down so those girls don't really see who was in there because it was dark because we were cruising the four-laner in Lloyd and Christ made us free. And when I had that little glimpse of freedom in my life and got my license, and even before that, I was like trying to get away. You know, freedom, I'm not living under my parents' rules anymore. I'm going out and I'm having fun and doing this and going causing trouble and smashing cars. I don't know. I did that once, a couple times. And when I really have this opportunity for freedom, what do? I go create bondage in my life by starting to drink, starting to try different substances, doing things that a good Christian boy shouldn't be doing. And for those of you that are watching that are maybe growing up and feeling like, yeah, freedom! Don't let it pull you into bondage, but allow it to give you freedom. Too many of us allow our freedom to give us addiction or strife, and it just creates bondage. The scripture says that Christ sets you free, and you can do with that freedom as you want, but you can take your offenses that come your way, they can pour you that glass of water in your cup or whatever that poison is, and you can either hold it and you can drink it, or you can just pour it out. Live free. Don't allow it to create bondage. The choice is yours. At this point, I have notes in my thing to take a glass, fill up a cup, and all this, but I was like, what am I going to do with this water once I pour it and pretend to pour it? Elaine and Lyle are going to be mad because I stained the carpet, and so. But let your freedom make you free. Don't let your freedom hold you into bondage. We've been given a choice, haven't we? And I'm going to invite Mary to come up and just play some piano for a moment. But we've all been given a choice. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we gained freedom. We have a choice to make, don't we? When we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior to become believers, we have a choice of holding on to that grudge, that bitterness, that offense, whatever it might be. Some of us had a rough growing up time. Some of us felt this growing up, and we're like, we're holding on to that. Like, that's my, I've got this, so, like, I've got this package from when I was a kid because this person did this to me or said this to me or did that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying, right? And we hold on to it and said, yeah, but I became a Christian, but I still got this. And we hold on to it like it's our little urn. And we're holding on to it and saying, I've got this. I'm a believer, but I've got this baggage with me. I've got this problem with me because this happened to me when I was a kid or happened to me here. Or somebody wronged me right when I became a Christian. Or even last week, somebody yelled at me in the church. I've got this, though. But I'm a Christian, and you're starting to really drag your leg, and you can't even really move anymore, but I got this, but I'm a Christian. And you start getting like this, and you're weighted down, and you're in a trap, when all you need to do is pour out whatever that bitterness, whatever that offense is, because we don't need to carry it, because He made us free. And too many of us, and maybe, and I pray it's none of us in this room, but too many people do that. They carry it and they hold it. And they don't live that free, blessed life because they can't look to the blessings that God's promised them in His Word. They can't take their mind off of their situation right now to look at His goodness because they're ensnared in the scandal that He's given them, that Satan's given them. When they could just drop and say, forget you, Satan, and punt it. I'm walking a life of freedom. As I don't even know who sings it, there's that song, Not Today, Satan. And it's a Christian rap guy. And I love that saying. Because we know offense is going to come. But we can say, not today, Satan. I'm living a free life. And I want you guys to live a free life. And I had some fun this morning sharing some of these silly stories, and I pray that they maybe help you see it in a little different light. And maybe it doesn't affect you, and that's great. I'm so glad it doesn't affect you, and that offense is something that just doesn't bug you. Awesome! High fives, right? But I know that there's people that need to hear this message, because I've seen far too often people run away from churches, run away from God because so-and-so offended me. And how can they do that? Because they're a Christian. Stop holding on to the offense. Let's live a life of freedom, amen? So if that's you, I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me, okay? If that's you, we're just going to pray. I want to give you that chance again to shake off that offense, okay? Will you shake it off of me? Will you pour it out? And then after we do this and we pray, we're going to give people watching and people here an opportunity to accept Jesus. If they don't know Jesus or they want to recommit their life to Jesus, we're going to do that too, okay? So let's just pray. And if that's you, you can also, if you want to, if you're pouring out this offense or shaking off the offense, if it's you, go ahead, shake it off, pour it out, whatever you want, okay? Father God, we love you. God, we thank you. We honor you. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus for us, that we can live free lives, that we don't have to be held captive and in bondage by offense and by what people say or do, but we can live free lives because you've called us to freedom. We can live blessed lives because you've told us that you will bless us. We can live lives with an open heaven because of your promises and your word. So God, we thank you for these promises right now. And Father, for those of us that have been holding on to an offense, those of us that have been holding that cup of offense or even drinking from that cup, Father, and those of us that want to pour it out, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that we pour it out, that we shake it off, that we don't try to hug it and hold it and say just a little bit longer, but that we would just shake it off and step out of that snare, whatever it may be. Father, because we have all sinned at some point in our life and you've called us to freedom. So I pray that we walk in that freedom and we share that freedom with others. Father, I pray right now that you would just shake us up. Father, I pray that our focus wouldn't be on ourselves or our situation, but our focus would be on you and the freedom and the life and the blessings and the promises that you bring. The things of your word that are promised to us because Jesus died on the cross, Father, whether it be sickness that we shed, whether it be lack, Father, I pray right now that we not be afraid of abundance, but we would step into the abundance that you've promised us in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that if we're taking our eyes off you, that we would fix them fully on you. God, give us passion for you. Let us walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, let's pray. If anybody doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we're gonna pray right now. And if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, we're all gonna repeat this prayer together, okay? And if you're watching online and you're with a group of people and you all know Jesus, you think, just repeat it with them in case there's somebody there that doesn't know him so they can feel confident. And then if you're a person that doesn't know Jesus and you wanna talk about this decision you just made, or maybe you're like, I just have some more questions, contact me. lead@rosetownchurch.ca, 306-882-2453. I'll slow that down and put it in the comments after church. But would you pray with me, guys? And would you repeat after me, whether you know Jesus or not? Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died in my place. Jesus, I ask that you forgive my sins. Come into my life and make me new. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom only you can bring. Thank you for letting me live a free life. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please contact me. If you got questions about that prayer, contact me. If you're not from Rosetown, contact me. And I'll get you in touch with a church where you are that's a good Bible-based church. And if you're from Rosetown, come and see me. Come and see us. Or keep watching online, whatever you're more comfortable with at this time. But I have a Bible I want to give you. So, God bless, guys. Have a great day. And we will talk to you next week. God bless. Sorry guys, I had to go and shut off our live feed. We're going to sing a couple songs. The altars are open. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. And just spend some time worshiping God, okay? Sing with us.